Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So good to see Doug and Jess here. Here they are, folks, getting ready for a great hour of gardening power. It is the Organic Gardeners. Take 10th caller right now to win a gift certificate. What a great holiday gift from the folks at Sorgles. 412-922-1020. You want to talk to Doug and Jess, 866-391-1020. Gift giving ideas always welcome as well. And yes, they are ready to take to the airwaves. So let me step aside and introduce both of them to you officially. Doug Oster of EverybodyGardens.com, Jessica Wallister, both of the Tribune Review, the dynamic duo more popular than Batman and Robin. Here they are. And who's Batman and who's Robin is what I want to know. Doug and Jess, good morning. Happy holiday weekend.
Good morning. I'm Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Wallister.
And I love it when it works out this way.
What? How did it work out?
Everything in my garden got planted yesterday, worked until dark, 200 bulbs, giant serviceberry tree, some shrubs, some perennials. The perennials, I cheated. I just put them into a nursery bed.
That's all right.
I didn't have to improve the soil or anything. It was just in a beautiful, composty nursery bed. But got done, and now we got rain. And so everything that was planted is going to be like,
settled in for the winter, just like you. Are you done now? Outside completely?
No, you know, all right. I'm done with everything that I have.
Okay.
Anything that I have.
So you're going to keep buying?
Right, that I felt guilty about having sitting there. You know, I could not, for the life of me, really think of where I wanted that serviceberry tree. I had like two or three places, and I kept thinking and thinking. And plus, it was in a like 30-gallon pot.
Oh, wow.
You know, I had to cut the pot to pieces. And then I, you know, couldn't find my pruning saw, which is what I usually use for that job. I used it last week, so I hope it's not sitting out in the garden somewhere. I looked everywhere.
It probably is. It's in the compost pile, probably.
It wasn't where it was supposed to be when I went to look at the normal spot that it was at. I was like, oh, no, where is it?
That's the worst feeling about one of your favorite
When I was tools. Planting bulbs, it was just so nice. It was just so nice. You know, I'd plant so many, and I'd sit for a little bit, and you could see in the woods where, you know, the bucks had rubbed, or even I saw a little jumping bug, you know, that came from underneath the leaves as I was planting. And then as I continued my jobs, I had more leaf blowing to do. After I blew all those leaves, then we had that 50-mile-an-hour wind and brought half of them back. But they were in the perfect condition to move because they were all dry. Yeah, it was like, you know, the difference between wet and dry oak leaves is night and day. And then at a certain point, the birds, they must have felt the pressure change or something. They just went crazy at the feeder. So I just sat and watched the birds for a while. It was just a great to be outside all day and getting all my work done. The only thing I'll buy is if there's bulbs left that people aren't buying, if the nursery doesn't want to pot them up for Easter flowers, I'll take them. I'll figure out a spot for them, you know. But again, I'm just glad to have all the stuff in.
You're just going to be surrounded by, we already are kind of a sea of daffodils in the spring where you live.
Nothing,
it's going to be even more.
There's just
crazy.
Nothing better than daffodil season. And I think the job is, I wish I had this powerful drill when I was started doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It makes life so much easier. The drifts that I make are actually, and I was thinking about this yesterday, are actually kind of designed by the soil. You know, I'll work in a general area, and then if it's like real clay and terrible, I'll just move to the left a little bit until I get to some nice, and it just, you know, that kind of makes them random, and it's so much easier in the, you know, you can kind of look at the top of the soil and say, oh boy, these leaves have been on here for who knows how long, and it's a lot easier to drill into. And so I'm just excited. And I'm just excited for spring. Excited to be in the garden this time of the year, see all the stuff that's left.
Did you happen to see, speaking of being excited for the spring, did you happen to see our friend Nikki Jabor's video that she posted? She is in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
With the hat on?
On, and she posted this little video on her Twitter feed, and you know, we complain about our winters here. Well, they get a whole, they're maritime climate, but they get a whole lot of snow up there. There's also zone five, but a ton of snow cover, and she's out in her garden with her cold frame, and it's all snowy, and she's got her parka on, and she opens up the top of the cold frame, and it's all these gorgeous green veggies inside of the cold frame. And I thought, oh, she's got spring in the cold frame there.
She's the queen of winter growing. If you could do it up there. I always reference her when I'm talking about extending the season. If Nikki can do it up in Halifax, Nova Scotia, we can do it here. And that was one of the parts about being in the garden, was looking at, like, your favorite arugula going crazy under protection, and beets and carrots and mizuna and lettuce, even some pansies in the cold frame.
There you go. And I have spinach and beets and chard out there, and kale and deer.
Yeah, the family was pointing out to a buck in your vegetable garden.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a deer in your vegetable garden. My dad says, I go over, the big buck standing right in the vegetable garden, enjoying all of my goodies in there. What are you going to do? I said, for Christmas, I want a 10-foot stockade around the whole yard, because I don't know how else we can keep them out. It's just absolutely crazy.
Now, walking in here, you know, we notice the landscape. I don't know if everybody else notices the landscape here. We're always talking about it, what they do to the trees, but they cut the daylilies to the ground in this kind of raised bed that they redid probably 2 years ago. It has a couple of Japanese maples in it, and they're resprouting, and that's unusual this time of the year. And then you've got some stuff sprouting too, right?
Well, mine's sprouting. I, you know, have this big red Abyssinian banana tree. I've talked about it on the show before, and it's huge. It's right in our front garden, and I dig it up and store it in the garage every winter. So I dug it up a couple weeks ago, and we had that, you know, we got a good hard frost, cut it back, dug it up, put it in a big giant bucket, and just dumped the bucket in the corner of the garage. And the darn thing has two brand new big beautiful leaves on it. It's growing in the garage. It's crazy.
Well, next Sunday, the Gardening Santa is back at Hahn from 1 to 4. It is absolutely free. It is very relaxed atmosphere. I think Santa might be getting more pets than kids now, because the word's got out that we love to do dogs and cats and whatever you have, bring. You know, you can bring the whole family to get a picture with Santa if you want. There's no real rules, and there's never really a line. So next Sunday from 1 to 4, Gardening Santa will be there, and it is a fun thing to do.
Santa loves reptiles, too, I hear.
Yeah, boa. Yeah, boa constrictor.
I saw a picture of him on Facebook from last year.
Ho, ho.
He looks so enthusiastic. I literally was laughing so hard I was crying looking at that picture. You have to check it out, folks. All right, be listening for KDK Radio's Ask the Expert. Tuesday, December 3rd from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., financial advisors, good friends from Heffron Tillotson are going to be here to answer your questions about your money goals, investment, retirement planning, and more. And the winner is Barbara of that $25 gift certificate from Sorgles. Lines are open, first come, first serve. So if you want to talk to Doug and Jess, now is the time to call to get through, to get your questions answered. It is 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020.
Well, speaking of feeding the birds, that's something that I love doing, but there is a method to my madness. And I learned some good stuff from you last year about how many bugs those birds eat. You know, right now I'm feeding them seed, but when they have their babies, they'll want the real deal. And by feeding them, it creates a foraging route, which the birds will continue on, theoretically. And you were saying something about the chickadees?
Yeah, Dr. Doug Talmy, he's an entomologist out in the on the East Coast. And his book, Bringing Nature Home, is one of my favorite books. And he talks in there about how many caterpillars the average brood of chickadees needs to reach maturity, and it's 9,000 caterpillars. Those parents need to feed their babies 9,000 caterpillars for just that one brood. So we're talking about, you know, you're living in an oak forest, and oaks are one of the greatest trees for supporting different species of caterpillars. And you watch, I'm sure I watch the wrens and the chickadees fly back and forth all day. And
you know, I was going to say to you that I watch a lot of the wrens because I guess I know where their nest is. I never really discover the chickadee nest I guess they have nested in some of those boxes here and there.
Yeah.
But I'm more familiar with the wrens, and yeah, both parents, just every time they come back, they've got something out of the compost or out of the garden.
It's almost always a caterpillar of some type or grub of some type, and they all fly by. And so what that does is that then sort of keeps everything in balance in the yard and garden. And with all this talk of the decline of insect populations and all of these tests and studies that have come out recently, and then that leads obviously to decline in other species because they're, you know, close to the bottom of the food chain. And it's really interesting. So by feeding the birds this time of year and establishing their foraging route and keeping them in your garden, you're actually really helping with pest control. You know, one of my favorite things to do in the spring and early summer is sit and watch my broccoli and cabbage and kale plants in the vegetable garden, because we do have a little wren nest up, like a nest box up near the vegetable garden. And all day long, the mommy wren and daddy wren will fly back and forth to the vegetable garden, and they use the little green cabbage worms. And you can see them hopping along the top of the cabbage plants to find the worms and flying them back to the nest. And you think, okay, well, I'm never going to have to spray those plants or cover them because the wrens are taking care of it for me.
That's kind of one funny thing about the plants in the cold frame. There's a kale plant in there that's been still being ravaged by a cabbage worm.
Oh. Well, can't you find it?
I have not been able to find it, but it's textbook cabbage worm damage, and it just must be just barely warm enough for it to be in there. No, I've been all over that plant.
Wow.
I cannot find it. And it's only one plant, which is kind of weird.
Hmm.
But it's getting chewed.
It's like it's island of food there. So, great.
All right, let's say hi to Chris. First call of the morning. Plenty of room for you at 866-391-1020. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I'm calling for my son-in-law who has some garlic he wants to plant, and he wants to know how late can he plant that?
Until the ground freezes. There's still time to plant it. We're getting to the very end, though. You know, at some point, the worm's going to turn here, and it's going to go. It's going to freeze solid. You know, start with good garlic. It can't be garlic from the store. It has to be from the nursery or a farm, locally grown from a farm.
Well, he has the garlic, and they're going to do some roofing work, and he wants to wait until that's done to get this planted, you know, because it's going to in the same area.
Roofing, schmoofing. The garlic is more important than a silly old roof. Come on now. Eat, drink, and stink. Let's go. Split up those heads into cloves. Put them 3 inches down, 6 inches apart in some good soil. Cover them with some straw, and the roof will get done. Yeah, a roof you can do while it's snowing. It could be freezing. But if you miss your opportunity for your garlic, are you going to do? Why don't you go over there and plant it for him?
Well, I could do that.
You got to get that garlic in the ground. Don't let it go to waste.
But listen, if he does decide, I'll be the practical one here. If he does decide to do the roof work first, and they're walking a lot on the area where he's going to be planting the garlic, make sure that he loosens up that soil before he plants the garlic after they're working on it. Because it's going to, the ground is pretty wet right now, and it's going to really compact that soil. So it should really be worked up a little bit, add some compost in there, turn it over, and then plant the garlic, because you don't want to plant it in really super compact soil because it could rot.
Don't let those roofers walk over that soil. What are you thinking?
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, you could put a piece of plywood
over it. Go around. Get up on the ladder.
Oh, my goodness. And this is why you can't find anyone to fix your roof, Doug Oster.
Or windows. Or porch.
This is pretty important to him. He never did this before.
You know, it won't take long either. You know, just get out there an hour before the roof work needs to be done, and at least get some of it in. You know, if I'm a procrastinator, which you could tell from the beginning of the show.
So you think he should plant it first and then the roofing guys walk over it? I think exactly the opposite.
Why do you think they're going to be walking over it? How do you know they'll be
walking
over it?
Because she said they're going to be working in the same area where he wants to plant.
You think they'll be walking over that bed?
I don't know.
That's what we need to figure out. Yeah, I agree with you. But how big of an area is it? Can you work them around it? Can you put a little bit of something on there so they don't walk on it? You know, all you need is a ladder up and a ladder down and, you know, some strong backs.
Right. I'll have to tell him that. You said 3 inches down and how close together?
About 6 inches apart.
6 inches apart.
Okay. And then call us in the summer after he pulls all those bulbs and tell me how good that garlic is and how happy you are that you made those roofers walk around that bed.
Okay. Okay. Do that.
Thanks,
all right.
Chris.
Thanks very much.
Or they could use the roofing gun and plant the the garlic and then give them an extra hour of overtime.
Now, how cool would that be if someone came up with like a garlic planting gun and you just loaded up the cloves and then you put it in the soil and you injected it right down into the ground?
There you go.
Exact
genius,
right,
Rob Pratt.
Exact right depth, root side down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll see me.
You could do it with bulbs, too. Like, that would be even better than a bulb auger.
I still have one head of garlic left that I want to give to somebody to plant, so...
Just think, though.
I sent some. I'm sorry.
No. Finish your thought. Go ahead.
I sent some to a listener. I don't know if you remember. We talked at a certain point here about a month ago, and he's out in Apollo. He was looking for garlic, and so I got some from the Garlic King of Millvale and sent it out to him. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
It's the Rock'em Sock'em Garlic Planter. Maybe we're on to something.
I think you are.
Yeah, who's going to back me, though, is what I want to know.
Right.
All right, we'll take
go
a
on the Shark Tank, you know.
Yeah, you never know. Hey, Cuba's family right down the street
there
in Mount Lebanon.
Right. There you go.
We'll take a break. Stay with us. We got much more to come. Now would be a great time to load up these phone lines, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. And, of course, next hour, holiday baking with, yes, it is, Frank Dentici and I, Mr. Dentici enjoying the day off. And then Heffron Tillotson's Your Money and You from 9 until 11. Then we're at the Riverview Grand View Buffet coming up on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show at 11 a.m. So a busy day still ahead. Rob Pratt Sunday all day on KDKA Radio. All right, here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to offer the 10th caller, 412-922-1020, a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's out there in Clinton. Their big Christmas open house coming up next weekend. We've got lines available, ladies and gentlemen, 866-391-1020. If you'd like to talk to Doug and Jess next hour, Frank Dentici and I, Father Joe enjoying the day off. It's holiday recipes, but right now, Doug Oster with this important announcement.
Next Sunday, it's the Gardening Santa at Hahn Nursery from 1 to 4. You can bring kids, pets, families. It's a relaxed atmosphere, and it's absolutely free, and there's plenty of treats. We have a lot of fun, and there's rarely ever a line. And like I said, if you want something, especially when everybody in the picture with Santa, it's cool.
And it's a cool backdrop with all those poinsettias and plants.
And I'm hoping my coworker Megan comes again and plays the elf. She, it's so funny. We, you know, sat next to each other. She goes, "I've always wanted to play an elf."
Let me just give one more quick note about one of our wonderful sponsors who love you too, the Janoski's. You know what they have in the farm market right now? Going to the Christmas open house next weekend. Some of Sonny Janoski's personal big boy toy collection.
Wow.
I mean, stuff that's just awesome. So if you're a fan of that place, as I am, and Mr. Janoski, and you want to get a hold of some of those precious toys that he had growing up because he worked so hard, and obviously as an adult, you're going to want to get out to the farm market. Pretty awesome stuff.
I'll actually be out there Tuesday filming my annual poinsettia opus.
Listen, if you want a poinsettia,
that's the place to go.
I know. I've actually heard that the big guy comes from the North Pole and or sends his wife with a credit card to get down there and buy those poinsettias. Let's go to, is that Ricky? Yeah, Ricky. You said Rocky. I'm like, Rocky?
I thought it was Rocky. I can't read.
That's okay. You're allowed. Ricky in Ambridge. Ricky, how you doing? Good morning.
Good. How you guys doing today?
We're doing good. What's on your mind?
First off, love the show. Very informative. My parents have a 55-year-old mighty oak in their front yard. They had the green man carved in with the chainsaw in 2014. And about a quarter of it now starting to deteriorate, like the beard down. I see a lot of ants in there. Is anything I can do to stop more deterioration, please?
Oh, boy. With a big tree like that, if you're seeing ants and rot, that's not a good sign. Are you seeing any mushrooms, like, around the... up in the branches or anything like that growing?
Not in the trees, but in their front yard for sure.
Yeah, so that's sometimes can be a sign of interior rot on a tree. So I would definitely recommend that you have a certified arborist come and take a look at the tree and assess it. Because especially if it's close to a house like that, a tree that big, you want to make sure that it's strong and sturdy and it's not a fall risk. So I would actually recommend that you call the folks at Davy Tree, because Davy Tree will send an arborist. It'll be the right certification. They'll come out and assess the tree for free and take a look and let you know if there's anything that can be done to help that tree.
I will definitely do that. Thanks for the information.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ricky.
Yeah, what did the one of the arborists told us? If you see mushrooms, what was it?
At
if you
base.
See at the base, it's not as problematic as it is if you see them on the top.
I thought it was the reverse.
You thought it was the reverse.
I just know that I've got a couple oaks that have something at the base, and when I mentioned that, they were like,
"Oh,
keep your eyes open."
Okay.
You know? So yeah. I don't know, but you know, I have seen them also in another one way up high. The
the ones in the lawn, the ones in the lawn are not problematic because that's sort of like a symbiotic relationship, right? So the ones that are growing in the lawn have a relationship with the roots of your trees where they exchange sugars and carbohydrates, and the mushroom, the mycelia, which are kind of the roots of the mushroom, help to feed the tree. So those are not problematic. It's when you actually see them like growing on the base of the tree or up in the tree, you have those bract or shelf fungus, like a little shelf sticking out.
Yeah, that's what
those are the ones that penetrate the tissue of the tree and can mean that there's a significant amount of rot
in there. An expert to tell you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, 866-391-1020. Here's Deborah up next for Doug and Jess from Alexandria. Hey, Deborah, how are you? Good morning.
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you. Hey, so I listen to you guys every Sunday morning, get a lot of great tips from you. And what I'd like to know is we have a yard that the backyard slopes down towards a creek, and the grass has just been totally washed away. We just had a dry creek bed installed. And we'd like to know what kind of a perennial ground cover for a yard that the soil is mostly clay, you know, a lot of clay in it.
Mm-hmm.
What would be some good ground cover that's a perennial that basically would also be alive during the winter? Because we have a lot of ferns, but, you know, they die down in the wintertime.
Sure. What is it, shady back there? Is it sunny? What are the conditions?
Well, we do have a lot of trees. So we have both. So we do have some sun, but definitely have a lot of shade as well.
Okay, so you're basically looking for an evergreen ground cover that can survive sort of like, well, let's call it partial sun, right?
Yes.
So something that I really like that I think works really well in a situation like that is ajuga, which is also it's A-J-U-G-A.
Okay.
And ajuga is also called bugle weed, and don't let the word weed, you know, it does spread really quickly, but in a situation like this, you want something to cover that slope quickly to keep the erosion from happening.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a good choice because that will stay evergreen.
You know, the old-fashioned one for me is Pachysandra. Some people hate Pachysandra. I love Pachysandra. Right.
I mean, love Pachysandra. I love it.
What else?
Lily turf, which is called the Ryopi.
Yeah, and that stuff is tough. That they plant that around the stadiums. It's that tough. It can grow just about anywhere.
And it almost has like a grass. It's a narrow, slender blade. It looks a lot like a daylily leaf.
I've seen them. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's kind of like border grass, right?
A little bit, yeah. And then it has sort of these purpley blue flowers that come out of the top. So that would be something that you could do in that situation there as well. Yeah, so that's some options for you. I mean, if you didn't want it to be evergreen, that opens up a lot more choices for you. But the fact that you want it, you know, something to be, you know, I'm trying to think. I wrote an article a couple of years ago on my website, Savvy Gardening. And if you go to savvygardening.com, there's a search box on the side and type in evergreen ground covers. I have 20. Yeah. There's 20 evergreen ground covers that I profile in that article.
And you can't remember all 20 off the top of your head?
I can't remember all 20. And that's, I know a lot of them need more sun than that.
Okay, I will definitely look it up on your website. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good luck.
I can't remember my name, so it's okay.
All right, congratulations. Vanessa from Pittsburgh, winner of that gift certificate from the good folks at Janoski's. They'll be listening for KDK Radio's Ask the Experts Tuesday, December 3rd from 8 until 4 p.m. Financial advisors from Heffron Tillotson are going to be here to answer your questions about your money, goals, investments, retirement planning, and more. Yeah, they are, Doug and Jess, waiting for your phone calls. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. But right now, we've got
time for Mrs. Know-It-All, our horticulturalist, gardener, and garden goddess, Denise Schreiber. How are you on this wet morning?
I'm actually pretty good. Talking about feeding the birds, because I have a right-of-way that's wooded behind me. I have lots of different birds. I have, like, three different types of woodpeckers and, you know, all sorts. So I have a platform feeder, which looks like a shelter from one of the parks. I had that made years ago. And then I have the Yankee Flipper, And if you've never seen that in action, just Google it on or go to YouTube. And it holds 5 pounds of bird seed. And if a squirrel jumps on it, the ring around the bottom where the birds would perch, it flips them off. It swirls them off and just throws them off. It's the funniest thing you'll ever watch.
I bet your cats love watching that, right?
Oh, everybody loves watching it. It's not the cheapest bird feeder, but since I got it, I have not lost any bird seed to the squirrels.
What's it called again?
It's called the Yankee Flipper.
Yankee Flipper.
Yeah, or the company's Yankee Droll.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's hysterical. But and I also scatter some seed on the deck because of I get some dark-eyed juncos and doves who are ground feeders. And I only feed my birds safflower seed and black oil sunflower seed. Now, I will save seeds from, like, cantaloupes and watermelons during the summer, and I add that to it. And then I do have a suet feeder. And Dr. Scott Shalloway, who has since retired to North Carolina, actually has a recipe for making really good suet cakes, and it's not like those nasty things you buy in the store. This uses crunchy peanut butter and lard and, you know, cornmeal, all the things that birds need. And then I add in a little bit of seed, but I also add in, like, dried fruit. I'll go to the dollar store and get some dried fruit and chop it up and throw it in there. I have Carolina wrens, and they are great mosquito eaters.
That's true. Actually, I like those little bugs they eat.
I like making my own suet, too.
Do you?
I just go to the grocery store, go to like Coons and get suet. It's called suet. Melt it down and then add, like she says, peanut butter or cornmeal or seeds.
Have you done a video on that yet? That would be a cool video.
Probably years ago. I'll probably do one this winter.
Yeah, that would be. I've never tried making my own suet. I need to do that.
It's
I need
really
to actually
easy.
Get my feeders out. I don't feed the birds during the summer. I only feed them in the winter, and I haven't gotten them. I haven't gotten the bird feeder out yet. I better get a move on.
Let's go to Larry in Harrison City. Final call of the day for Doug and Jess. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a cabin in Ligonier, and I have mountain laurel everywhere, about 2 to 3 feet high. I need to get rid of it. Can it be transplanted to move about 50 miles away in a wooded area?
It's hard to transplant. I've tried it before. I've done it before. I've been successful, but I would give it a less than 50% chance to move it. They don't like it. You know, the smaller the plant, in my experience anyway, the smaller the plant, the better luck I've had moving it, but they just don't like it. You know, there are nursery cultivars that do a little bit better at moving, but what do you think, Jess?
Is there a reason why you have to move it? Is there a reason you have to move it? I think we lost him.
No, he should be there. Larry, you there? Nope, he hung up. He just hung up.
I do wonder why he has to move. So if it's, you know, your sentimental plant, somebody got it for you as a gift, and you know, you're leaving that home and you want to move to a new home, then it's, in that case, it's probably worth the risk, right, of possibly losing it. But if it's just you're moving it just to move it, I would also caution if this was like a native plant, that this was where it has grown since day one, and it was established as a seedling in this location, that would be even harder to transplant because it already has a really established root system that's not going to get dug up very nicely. So I think there's enough factors there to make it a really potentially complicated practice to do it. And you do, I agree with you. It's a huge risk on losing a mountain laurel.
When I first moved into my property, I had little ones everywhere. And I was like, hey, if you want a mountain laurel, I'll dig you one out in the fall. And it just, you know, worked out maybe for one of four of my friends, you know.
Yeah.
They just don't like it.
They're such cool plants, though. What is it? It's our state flower, the mountain laurel. Mm-hmm. So they're really, really neat plants.
They really don't do too well for me in my woods. You know, they come
because of the deer. Do the deer eat? They're not supposed to eat them, but they do.
They're not supposed to. But like I said, I always talk about this cultivated variety I have. It literally fell off the back of a truck. There was about six of them, and they sold them to me cheap. And out of those six, three of them made it. And again, they're not supposed to eat it, but they'll come by and they'll eat, the young ones will eat those buds and it'll make them sick, but it's too late. I have to have it actually surrounded with deer netting because I just don't spray enough.
Yeah.
You know, they'll get after the bottom of the azaleas. I don't care. But that mountain laurel is only about 4 foot tall at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And they'll eat the whole thing if they have a chance.
Go to town on the buds and then you have no flowers. And it's called nip muck. And the flowers, actually the buds are
that's the cultivar name?
Yeah, okay. N-I-P-M-U-C-K. Beautiful. Okay. Nip muck. Isn't that a beautiful name?
It's a weird name. It's a very weird name.
It is weird. But remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
When you get to be my age, it's nip tuck. Just remember that. Folks, have a great day, okay?
You too.
All right. You too.
Remember Chippendale. Thank you. No, thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.